Let us turn again to the book of Revelation, chapter 4. Revelation, chapter 4. And we shall read not only from chapter 4, but also from chapter 5. Verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight, like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Chapter 5, verse 8. And when he, that is, the Lamb slain, our Lord Jesus, when he had taken the book, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden bowls full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the 4 living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the worthiness of Christ to receive the adoration and worship of the whole of creation, and especially from his redeemed own. And this morning we pray, O God, that as we study this portion together, that we too may worship, and that we may behold the glories of the Lamb, that we may behold the worthiness of him who loved us and gave himself for us, even our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we give thee our grateful thanks. Amen. From this text, Revelation chapter 4, last Lord's Day morning, we looked at a number of things that serve as an introduction to our study this morning. First of all, we saw that heaven and earth are not far apart, as we read Revelation chapter 4. There is but one family of God. Part of God's family is on earth. The other part is in glory. And God has been pleased to transfer one from our presence on earth into glory with himself this past week. And when we consider that, the words of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, become very real to the child of God. There is but one family of God. There is but one register in heaven that has the names of all the redeemed people. They're all in one register. More than that, they're redeemed by one blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses from sin. And they are all quickened by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, who performs a new birth in his people. And then we noted also that the elders round about the throne are representatives of the saints of God. Just as elders on earth are representatives of the saints of God, the elders in glory are. Furthermore, the elders are round about the throne. They're occupied with him who sat upon the throne. Yesterday afternoon, I went to visit someone, and on the way out, when I turned my the engine of the car, the radio came on, and it was Alexander Scorby reading from the book of Exodus. And I was listening, for he was reading the precious stones that are in the breastplate of the high priest. And the high priest wore a breastplate. The breastplate was a linen bag, because there was something on the inside. But on the breastplate, on the outside, fastened to it, were 12 precious stones, and on those 12 precious stones were engraved the names of the children of Israel according to their birth. To have your name on the breastplate of the high priest, you had to be born into the family of God's people, and to be represented in heaven by the heavenly high priest, you have to be born into God's family to be represented by God's high priest. And the nice part about it, when you read that passage, that breastplate was fastened with a ribbon of blue at the bottom, and it was fastened with two golden chains of pure gold that were braided together to two onyx stones, and are called precious onyx stones, upon his shoulders. And on the shoulders of the high priest, the names of the children of Israel were again engraved in the two onyx stones on his shoulders. In other words, the heart speaks of affection. The shoulders speak of strength. What the heart of our high priest desires for us, his shoulders are able to perform. There is nothing that God desires for his people that he's not able to do for them. And we can say with assurance now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, as we read in that great benediction in Ephesians chapter 3. But when Alexander Scorby was reading, my mind went to what I had been studying before I went out to visit. I was studying Revelation chapter 4, and I was writing from Revelation chapter 4. And in chapter 4, he says in verse 3, "And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone." And when I listened to him reading off these names, according to their rows in the breastplate of the high priest, you know the reverse order is from here. In Exodus, the sardine stone is first, the jasper stone is last. In Revelation, the jasper stone is first, the sardine stone is last. Is that a mistake? I don't think so. You see, in the economy of God, when God had the tabernacle constructed, and when God ordained the priesthood in Israel, the sardine stone is a blood red stone, and it speaks of the cross. They were looking forward to the cross. The jasper stone, which was the last, is a blue stone, and it speaks of the glory of the heavens. And you see, we see the cross, and we see the glory that follows. Now John is transported into the glory. in Revelation chapter 4. And as he looks, the first thing he sees is a glory. And as he looks a little further, he sees a cross. He looks back, looking back. And as we get, when we get the glory, as we look back, we see first of all the glory. And we look further and we see that which speaks of what it cost and what was required in order that we can enjoy the presence of our blessed Lord. The elders around about the throne. The fourth thing that we learned last week was that the elders are clothed with white raiment. There are no colors. There's no party colors or no spots. They are without fault before the throne of God. The elders exercised the priesthood. They worshipped. And the elders were crowned with golden crowns. They were kings as well as priests. So last week, we examined the meaning of the heavenly elders round about the throne. This morning, we want to look at the mind of the elders. And then we want to close with a message of the elders. That which this has for you and me in practical everyday living. The mind of the elders. We sing occasionally, may the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day. And how important that is, the mind of the elders. Notice first of all, chapter 4 verse 10, their mind was one of humility. They fell down before him and they worshiped. Their mind was one of humility. Now they are kings, but they fall down. Their position that they recognize that he's theirs caused them to be humble before God. They wear golden crowns, but they prostrate themselves before the one who sits upon the throne. Humility of mind. When we consider the fact that we are in Christ and God has raised his people according to Ephesians chapter 1 far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that he's named, our position as believers in Christ is higher than the angels. It is higher than any created being in the universe. And these elders round about the throne represent them. These elders are second to none in the universe of God. But before the King of glory, they have no honor. And they have no esteem, and they recognize it. They fall down before the throne. Their boasting, friends, is in the Lord. He who glories, let his glory in the Lord. You know, friends, the more holy one becomes, the more humble they become. The more holy, the more humble. They go together. Always. You see, with a seraphim, the elders could say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Jehovah of hosts. All the earth is filled with his glory. This reminds us to ask ourselves a question this morning. Are we as humble as we should be? Now, if we think we are, we betray our pride. The moment we think we're humble, we're filled with pride. If they boast not in heaven, how dare we ever boast on earth? The occupation of the elders round about the throne is that blessed one who sits upon the throne, even the Lord of glory. They are occupied with him. Now, pride is natural to us. It comes naturally. And we can't get rid of it, even though we fight against it. You can't get rid of it. It's there. Now, pride takes up a lot of different areas. It could be pride of what we have in our pocketbook. Pride because we are more than somebody else. It could be pride because of our station in life. We can be like the Pharisee who looked down his nose, as we read in Luke chapter 18, at the publican. He said, "I thank you, God, I'm not like other men." And then he brought the publican into his own little circle in order that he might degrade him in the presence of God. But you know, there's a more subtle kind of pride than pride of money or pride of position. It's a pride that apes humility. Like that man in Dickens' work of David Copperfield, he continuously said, that proud little man, he continuously said, "I'm just a humble man, Mr. Copperfield. I'm just a humble man. I'm just a humble man." And he was filled with pride. You see, the deadliest of all is that pride that preachers get after they preach. Or it's that pride that we get after we heard ourselves praying. The elders in glory are filled with humility. The more holy, the more humble. There's a second thing concerning the mind of the elders. Their mind is one of gratitude. Chapter 4, verse 10. "They fall before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy." They cast their crowns before the throne. They know where they got them and to whom to ascribe praise. Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he said to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, "You reigned as kings without us, and I hope you did reign. But what do you have that you didn't receive?" They were boasting of their pride. He said, "What do you have that you didn't receive?" Oh, these elders, they wear their crown, for it was God who made them kings and priests. And we need not deny the dignity, nor refuse the dignity that God has given us. Every child of God, by the blood of his cross, is a king, and he is a priest. But these elders, they cast their crown at his feet, for they are only kings and priests, received as a right from himself. They acknowledge him as King of kings and Lord of lords. "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Now we should be glad we have something to cast at his feet. And you have. Do you have faith this morning? Have you believed on the Lord? Where'd you get that faith? Peter, when he writes his second epistle, chapter 1, verse 1, he writes to them who have obtained like precious faith. Faith is something you don't have by nature. Faith is a gift of God. It is God who gives it to you. You have faith this morning. Where did you get it? "I got it because God in infinite grace gave it to me. I can't even claim that belief that I exercised in Christ to be saved was my own. He had to give it to me in order that I could be saved." Where is boasting, friends? Oh, for a heart filled with gratitude to the God of all grace. In heaven, friends, it will be grace, grace, grace. Is that hymn the Grandfather's Quartet used to sing back in Lebanon, Pennsylvania? "Grace first contrived a way to save rebellious man, and all the steps that lead to heaven, which drew the wondrous plan." And then the last verse of that hymn that they used to sing, they'd I can't quote the beginning of it. I can quote the end of it because it comes right out of Zechariah chapter 4, where it says, the headstone shall be laid amid shoutings of grace. Grace unto it. It's grace. It's all of grace. And the elders demonstrate that. And oh, if there's anything that the church needs to demonstrate in our day, it is a genuine love and appreciation for the grace of God given us in Christ Jesus. Oh, their mind is one of humility, but their mind is one of grace, of gratitude. And then notice, the elders spend their time in joyous song. They're singing. And when you get to chapter 5, that portion that we read, was their song is, Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy to receive. And that's the great song of redemption. The first time you have a song mentioned in the Bible from the lips of God's people, it's after they were redeemed. Exodus chapter 15, the song of redemption. And here, in the glory, the elders sing the song of redemption. And the song of redemption is the worthiness of our blessed Lord to receive all these things, power and riches and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And you know, the whole universe echoes this song. You see, there's a great psalm that is filled with praise to the Lord. And when I make a statement like that, the whole universe echoes this song of redemption. I'd like you to turn to the 103rd psalm for just a moment. And we want to point something out from Psalm 103. We all know this psalm, especially the opening verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, yea, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. But that's the way the psalm opens. The psalm opens with one person, the psalmist himself, blessing the Lord. Now, as you read through this psalm, he calls on the whole of the universe to bless the Lord with him. And when you get to verse 21, the second last verse, it says, bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye servants of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, friend, he calls on all the works of the Lord are going to bless him. All of God's creation is going to bring glory to God. Except the lost among men. And they're even going to glorify him in a lost eternity. But oh, to be able to bless the Lord in that way which seems to us so proper, by giving to him the honor and the adoration of our heart. You see, the whole world is the organ, and we are the players on the organ. We put our fingers on the notes. The universe responds and thunders the praise of God's people. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. But more than that, the elders offer both praise and prayer. For in chapter 5 and verse 8 that we read in the 8th verse, and when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden bowls full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. The golden bowls that the elders had were their prayers that they offered unto the Lord. You see, the elders do not pray for the saints below. You see, it's their own prayers and thanksgivings that they are offering to God because of who he is and what he has done for them. How do I know they're not the prayers of those below? Well, I want you to notice they pray in heaven. Chapter 6 and verse 9 is an interesting verse. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, Holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? In other words, here we have a picture of the souls under the altar, they who are slain during that period of time when the Antichrist is going to deceptively remove peace from the earth and claim himself as a Messiah. And multitudes who are true to God are going to be slain, and they cry to God. There are prayers offered to him. Oh, friends, let us continually draw near and spread our needs before the Lord in genuine prayer. If the glorified saints are occupied in praying to him, how much more should we, who are on the way to glory, do the same? And then there's another. The elders are there for many kinds of service. They are there as representatives, but they're there as many kinds of service. And I'd like to point out two. One told John in chapter 5, verse 5, he said to John, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." In other words, here's a man who's occupied with comfort. One of these elders said to John, "There's no need to weep. There's one who has prevailed, and the one who has prevailed is none other than the Lord of glory." Oh, my friend, do you have a mind to comfort those who mourn, who are in sorrow, who have needs? The mind of the heavenly elders. A mind to comfort. Then, of course, when you get over to chapter 7, we have another service that they offer. Chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, where we read, "And one of the elders answered," this is one of those 24 elders, "one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Here we have a man, an elder, who's occupied not with comfort now, but with encouragement. Where did these saints come from? They came from tribulation. They came out of great tribulation. But what about them? They washed their robes. They made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Do you ever think of quitting in the service of the Lord? Oh, my. We don't quit at other things nearly as easily as we do in the things of God. Here's a man who was good at encouraging. He was able to encourage. You see, he's occupied with the great work of God. What is God doing in the world? He's calling out a people. He's saving sinners. Dr. Barnhouse, a number of years before he died, he had a world tour, and he visited the mission fields around the world. And he had gotten to a place in Africa where they had seen real blessing, real revival, many saved. The next mission field he got to, people had been laboring there for years and haven't seen one convert. And they thought that the good doctor was going to reprimand them a bit because they had seen so little from their many, many labors. It's easy to become discouraged, friends. And Dr. Barnhouse said to this man, the missionary and his wife, he said to them, I'd like to ask you a question. After you've been in glory 10,000 years, will you find one person there who was not chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world? That was his question. And of course he had to say no. Well, if it pleased God to save more people over there than it pleased him to save people here, that's not your business. Your business is to tell the gospel. keep telling the gospel. It is God who saves and not man. My, here was the encouragement that a couple needed. Here an elder said to John, where are all these people? Who are they? John says, you know I don't. These are they that have come out of great tribulation. Wasn't easy. The life was difficult, but they endured. And they've come through, they've come out of great tribulation. They washed their robes. They've made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, to have the mind of one of these heavenly elders. Now I'm closing. What meaning does this have to me? We must ask ourselves the question, what is the message of these elders for me? First, it's one of encouragement. It's one of encouragement. They bid us to follow on. They bid us to mark their footsteps. That's what Hebrews 13 tells us that we should do with earthly elders. We should watch their manner of life. Watch their manner of life. Now, they fought the same battles we fight. And they endured. They won. Therefore, don't be discouraged. First of all, it's one of encouragement. And the Word of God says that we should encourage one another day by day. Furthermore, there is one of comfort. They care for each other. Also, are we trusting in the Lord? There is one of explicit trust. Are you trusting Christ? Have you come under the shadow of the cross to take refuge in Christ and His atoning blood, to take refuge from His awful vengeance? The day of God's vengeance is going to break, and it may break sooner than we think upon this earth. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to be saved, not tomorrow, not next week, today. If you've never trusted Christ, don't put it off. Today, He says, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Are you able to sing the song of the redeemed now? You see, in glory, they're going to be singing the song of the redeemed. And if you don't like to sing it now, how will you sing it then? Oh, I can't do much of singing. But I love it. I love it. You know, at Mrs. Picker's funeral this week, I spoke on the 89th Psalm in the first verse. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. And the reason I chose that is because on Monday morning, I was in her room and she had been very low, and she responded to that verse in a most unique way. And after she responded, I said to her, you know, we sing that as a chorus. Would you like me to sing it to you? She said, oh no. Oh no, I tell you, and she had a smile on her face when she said it. You know what? That blessed my soul. I got more from her than I gave to her. Oh, the blessings of the encouragement of the Lord. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy salvation to all, thy faithfulness to all generations. Are you able to sing it? Do you know something of His faithfulness? Have you come to the cross and come under its shadow of protection from the wrath of God? The wrath of God is real, friends. It's going to break one of these days, and then it's too late. Today is the day of salvation. Now, if you are prepared, thank God. But if you're not, if you're not prepared to meet the judgment of God, is there any reason that you can give this morning for not trusting Christ? No. Do you have a good reason? If not, why not trust Him? and know the reality and be able to join with the elders in singing, Thou art worthy, O Lord, for Thou hast redeemed us by Thy blood and hast made us kings and priests unto our God. Will you trust Him today? And all those of you who are saved, we can rejoice in the Lord together. Let's pray together. Let's stand for the benediction. Let's stand for the benediction. Our Father, Thy word declares, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those whom Thou hast redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Thou hast redeemed us by Thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. Thou hast made us unto our God a kingdom of priests. But oh, if there are any in our midst who are not in the ark of safety, may they come to the cross today and see what transpired there, that Christ died for their sins according to the Scriptures, and may they trust Him and know the reality and assurance of salvation. From Thine own that have truly believed in Thee, we commend them to You, and to Your grace, which is able to build them up and give them an inheritance among all that are sanctified, through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.